Unity.com.
That we're not going to have any more tears. And that there's going to be no more pain. And there's going to be no more crying. God himself will wipe every tear from our eyes. That's what we tend to focus in on. But this passage says, and what we often overlook, is that heaven is going to be changed. Right? It's going to undergo a transformation, a makeover, if you will. God himself says he will make all things new. And that includes heaven itself. Now, the bulk of this series, when you start talking about heaven, the bulk of the series is going to focus on that. What's the all things new version of heaven going to look at? But this morning, we want to take a look at this part of it. What is heaven like right now? Okay, what is heaven like right now? Or at least, what do we need to know about heaven right now? Okay, so I'm going to mention a couple of things, and we're going to kind of bullet fly through some of these things. They're going to seem a little basic, maybe, and a little simple, but I think they're important. Okay, so what do we need to know about heaven right now? Okay, well, the first thing is that the present heaven is not visible to us. Okay, the present heaven is not visible to us. And that would be a pretty obvious point. You don't even need to look at scripture passages to see that, right? You just look around and go, yep, I don't see heaven. Just like we don't see God. We don't see Jesus. We don't see Holy Spirit. We don't see the angels in the same way. The present heaven, not visible to us, at least not usually. But here's the second part of that. The present heaven is not visible to us, but some have seen glimpses of it. Okay, some have seen glimpses of it. Now, we've all probably heard those stories of people who had this near-death experience. You've heard the story of somebody maybe whose heart stopped or there was a surgery and their heart had to be stopped and eventually resuscitated and they came back to life in that way. And they talk about, I saw this light or I saw these people that I knew that died and had gone before me. I'm not talking about those kind of glimpses of heaven. I can't speak to those experiences or what's going on with that. But that's not what I'm kind of referring to when we talk about those who have seen glimpses of heaven. We see examples of those who have seen glimpses of heaven in Scripture. Right? So Elisha, he prayed and asked God to open the eyes of his servant Gehazi. And Gehazi did not see the invisible realm that was all around him. All he saw was himself and Elijah surrounded by these armies of people. But when God opened his eyes, he could see horses and chariots of fire all around, right? He could see that spiritual realm. And so they got a glimpse of the spiritual realm or of heaven. Stephen got a glimpse of heaven before he died. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. He got to glimpse, peer into heaven. Paul talks about being caught up to heaven. He says, I was caught up to the third heaven. And what he means by that is there's the first heaven, which is like our star and our sky and our clouds. The second heaven would refer to the planets and the stars. But the third heaven was referring to the place where God was. Right? So he says, I was caught up to the third heaven, although he could not speak about those things. Daniel and Isaiah, the prophet, as well as John, who wrote Revelation here, they had visions of God and visions of heaven. Now, they may or may not have been actual firsthand experiences of being in heaven, but they at the very least had these visions that they were able to glimpse into it. So, although we can't see heaven, it's not visible to us, some have had glimpses of it. Okay, so those are the first two things. The third thing is this, and this is another one of those duh points. Jesus is there now. Okay, Jesus is there now. When we talk about Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, it says, but he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God in heaven. Okay? Now, we also get the idea or the picture of Jesus being in heaven through John's revelation. Okay? So that might seem like a simple point. Jesus is there now. But it's important because here's the other part of that. And so are the believers who have died. Okay? Jesus is there now, But so are other believers who have died. When our life comes to an end, Scripture tells us that we who believe in Christ go to be with him. Excuse me. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, "And the dust returns to the earth as it was," meaning our bodies are going to decay, "but the spirit returns to God who gave it." Even in the Old Testament, it points to this. We go to be with the Lord. Paul wrote about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 8. He says, "We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. And we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord." Okay, so to be alive is to be apart from Jesus, but when we pass on, when we die, we will be at home with him, he says. Now, theologically, it's important to realize this is prior to what Jesus talked about when he talked about the resurrection from the dead and when Paul wrote about that. That's something that's going to happen later on. In the meantime, though, the scripture says we go to be with Jesus. And it's an immediate thing. Some people, some religions, some theologians have this view place on, well, maybe when we die, we go to some sort of temporary holding place, right? Like a little holding tank where we're just waiting until the resurrection takes place. Or maybe we go into this state of soul sleep. Like we're kind of not really there until the resurrection, and then we're like woken up. Right? Or this place called purgatory. We're kind of biding our time and working things out until then. None of those things are really backed up with what Scripture says and what these passages say. When we die, we go to be with Jesus. That's what they say. And Jesus reinforced this same teaching, this same idea, when he was dying on the cross. The thief next to him said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Surely I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Right? Key word, today. You're going to be with me in paradise. There isn't waiting. There isn't some place else we go. As believers, when we die, we go immediately to be with the Lord. So if Jesus is in the present heaven, that means other believers are going to be there with him too. Okay? So that's the next point. Here's the next thing. The present heaven engages in worship. Okay, the present heaven engages in worship. And we're going to explore this a little bit more next week as we have a week that's kind of focused on communion and worship. It's going to be pretty cool. But Revelation 4 and 5 gives us this picture of what heaven is like. Right? People and creatures worshiping God, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come." There is this incredible picture of worship that is portrayed. It's where we get the words to the Revelation song that we sang last week. They're this picture of worship in heaven. In fact, you know, it's interesting that throughout Scripture, when heaven is portrayed, there's often, very often, worship is following close behind. Okay, so the present heaven engages in worship. Now, some people's idea of heaven, kind of, I think, one of the questions that Otis wrote about with the harp and the ukulele, that sort of thing, often people get the idea that's all heaven is about. In fact, Mark Twain wrote in The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, he wrote kind of a famous little quote or story within the story, is that Huck Finn was talking to Miss Watson about the good place. She told him all about the good place. And here's the exact quote. She said, "All a body would have to do there was go around all day long with a harp and sing forever and ever." And Huck Finn's comment is, "So I didn't think very much about heaven." That doesn't sound very fun, right? Sometimes that's the picture we get, that's all that will be happening in heaven. That's not true. We are going to get to that throughout this series, but there is, at the same time, clearly an element of worship that is involved. The present heaven is engaged in worship. Okay, so that's the next thing. The last thing, the last area, there's one more thing I want to share with you, but we're going to turn to another passage of Scripture, and that's also in Revelation. It's a few pages earlier, Revelation chapter 6, Verse 9. It's on page 1031 if you're following along in the Bibles here. So starting in verse 9, middle of verse 9, John writes, I saw under the altar the souls of those who have been slain for the word of God and for the witnesses they have borne. That's a wordy way of saying, I saw those who were killed for their faith. Right? They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves have been. Okay? So these are the ones who were martyred for their faith. Now think about this. Not only were they aware of what took place in their own life, but they were also aware of what is taking place on the earth. That God had not brought vengeance. He had not executed judgment. He had not brought justice for what they had faced. They were very aware of this, and they were concerned that God would bring justice one day. Now, if you flip back to chapter 19, back meaning actually forward to where we, closer to where we started this morning, in chapter 19, in verse 1, it says, After this I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, crying out, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for his judgments are true and just. For he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants. Okay, so now the judgment, the vengeance, the justice has been brought. And the multitude are witnessing these things. And here's the point of this. We often get the idea that once our life is over, we don't care what's going on earth. Right? We don't care. It doesn't matter, right? We're in heaven with Jesus. There's no looking back. It doesn't matter what's going on the earth. But these passages portray something very different, don't they? Right? Those in heaven are definitely aware of what's happening in the here and now. And so here's something about the present heaven that's important for us to realize. The present heaven is concerned about what's happening on the earth. Okay, if we can bring that point up, the present heaven is concerned about what's happening on the earth. You know, God is concerned. When we talk about heaven, we often just picture God, right? God is concerned, but also those who are in heaven are concerned too. You remember the story last week, if you were here, we talked about Abraham and the rich man and Lazarus. And Jesus told about how, this encounter with the rich man and Abraham had a conversation with him. And Abraham recalled the man's life, right? He knew what was taking place in the man's life. There was an awareness of what was taking place on the earth. The idea that those in heaven are going around blissfully unaware of what's happening here, that's just not the picture we actually see in Scripture. They're not ignorant of what's going on with us. Now you might think, well, why would they care? Right? Again, they're with Jesus. They're in heaven. Why would they even care what was going on right now? Well, why would you care if you were in their place? Why would I care if I were in their place? And I was thinking about this, and I thought, a lot of us are parents, not all, but a lot of us are parents here. And you had that experience at one point in your life where a child came into your life. You gave birth to a child, or maybe you adopted a child. Either way, there was like a new family member that was added into your family. And when that happens, when each of our kids were born, there's just this kind of this explosion of love and excitement and joy that comes when this all takes place. It fades a little bit as time goes on, right? As life gets harder and it gets difficult. No, we still love them. We love them more and more. But that moment where they first come into the world is just such a special, precious thing, right? When a newborn child is born. And it's not even just our own immediate family. When our brother or sister or another relative has a child in their family, we get pretty excited about that too. you know, and we go see the baby, and we want to hold the baby, and there's like this love and this excitement that comes with that. Even the cousin or, you know, the person in your family that you see once a year, if they have a baby, you probably travel to go see them because you're excited for them and what's been added to it. And even those who you may never see in your lifetime, you know, I have cousins and uncle and aunt that live, you know, states away, and we see maybe once a decade if we're lucky, right? But even when that happens, we're going on Facebook and we're checking out the pictures of the baby, and we're just thrilled with what's happening. We're excited for them. We're sending posts, congratulations, she's beautiful, he's awesome, right? We're so excited when this takes place. Couldn't you picture that being the same in heaven? When someone comes to faith in Christ, right? When someone new comes to faith in Jesus, every person that's added to the family that comes to faith in Christ, they're like a new family member. They're like a new child. They're a brother or a sister in Christ. And even in heaven, if you think about it, those who are born may even be descendants of someone who's there, right? It's a great, 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 however many, grandson or a granddaughter or whoever. Now, you might be thinking, well, okay, well, that's sort of theoretical, but is it? Is it? Listen to, you know, the story Jesus told about the parable of the lost sheep. He talks about the lost sheep being found and how someone finds that lost sheep, and what do? They call their friends and their neighbors together and they rejoice over the one sheep that was found. And then he says this, Luke 15, verse 7, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. There is more joy in heaven. Luke 15, 10, right after this, Jesus talks about a woman who loses a valuable coin. And when she finds it, she calls her friends and relatives and calls them to rejoice with her too. Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. There is joy and rejoicing in heaven. Now, who's doing the rejoicing here? Sometimes we get the picture that when we say it kind of casually, like, oh, the angels throw a party when someone comes to faith in Christ. Well, maybe, but it actually says that there's joy and rejoicing before the angels, like in their presence. It doesn't tell us that they're the ones doing the rejoicing. Maybe. Maybe they're throwing that party, but who's doing the rejoicing? God the Father. Right? He's doing the rejoicing, clearly. Where's delight when we come to faith in him? Who else is doing the rejoicing? Those who are in the present heaven with Jesus. Those who have died. The other believers who are there. It's like they're calling everyone over because another lost one has been found. Another person has been brought from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Another one has become a child of God, a child of the King. We've gained another brother or sister in Christ. Did you see that? Did you see that? That's what they're rejoicing. And when we get this picture, I think one of the things that we need to remember, and if there's one thing you walk away from today just encouraged by, it's this, that heaven right now is cheering you on. Right? Heaven right now is cheering you on. There was rejoicing and joy of everyone in heaven when you came to faith in Christ. When you took that step of putting your faith and trust in him, but it didn't stop there. It doesn't stop there, okay? In Hebrews chapter 11, Paul writes about some of the people who have passed on and gone before us by faith, and it's talking about a number of people. I'm going to just give you the list real quick, okay? He writes about Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, the people of Israel, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, And he says, and many others who lived by faith. He writes about all these. And then here's what he says. Chapter 12, verse 1 of Hebrews. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Therefore, since we're surrounded by this great crowd of witnesses, this great cloud of witnesses, let us run with endurance the race set before us. Can you get the picture of what is taking place in heaven right now? There is thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of those who believe in Christ, who are with him now, who are gathered in this like great stadium of the present heaven, and they're watching you run your race. When you stumble, when you fall, they're concerned about your walk with Christ. They're glad when you stay strong and when you do what's right. They rejoiced with all of heaven when you first believed. And they rejoice with you when you take steps of faith. They're pulling for you every step of the way. Right? So heaven right now is cheering you on. You. And we have to personalize that to really get the effect of that, don't we? Like, not you, General, us. Heaven right now is cheering me on. And you as well. Abel is cheering you on. Enoch is cheering you on. Noah is cheering you on. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, they're cheering you on. Moses is cheering you on. Yeah, that Moses, burning bush Moses. He's cheering you on. Joshua led his people in, conquered, you know, all the enemies, and they took over the promised land. Joshua's cheering you on. Esther's cheering you on. David, King David, is cheering you on. Samuel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, the prophets, they're cheering you on. John the Baptist is cheering you on. Mary and Joseph are cheering you on. Peter, the apostles, they're cheering you on. Paul, Barnabas, Silas, Timothy, James, John, they're all cheering you on. Along with thousands upon thousands upon thousands of others who have gone before you. We are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. You can't see them, but they can see you. They are watching as you run your race. So when you are tired, when you are weary, when you feel like quitting, when you feel like giving up, and let's face it, it is hard sometimes to keep on going, right? It gets really difficult. Things come at us one after the other sometimes. We keep plowing away trying to share the love of Christ with others, trying to persuade people to be followers of Christ, trying to influence them towards Christ. We battle in our own minds just trying to hang in there in our faith. But can you remember when you're tired, when you're weary, when you feel like quitting? Heaven right now is cheering you on. This morning, we're going to close our time in a song of worship. And this song is one that we've done a little while back. And it's the song, when one day, when we all get to heaven. Now, I know that it talks about us getting to heaven. But the picture that I love of this song is that heaven is a place of rejoicing. It's a place of rejoicing. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. If we were there, we would be cheering on those who come after us, right? If our life came to an end, we would be with Jesus. We would be in heaven. We'd be cheering on those who come after us. But we're here right now. And yet we need to remember that all of heaven is cheering us on as we run our race. They are gathered around us. So we're going to close with this song. Bob is going to lead us in this. And I just want to encourage you to sing along as we wrap up our time. Heavenly Father, we ask that in this moment, you would help us to be encouraged, that there is a heaven that is real, and that the present heaven, you're there. That Jesus, you are there, and there are others who are there as well, who have believed in you. And that we have this great cloud of witnesses who is watching as we run our race, that all of heaven right now is cheering us on, just as they cheered and rejoiced when we came to put our faith in you. God, as we're struggling, as we're trying to continue to move forward, we pray that you would help us to be encouraged. That even if we don't hear the applause of anyone else, when we do the right thing, when we take steps of faith, when we continue to chase after you, even if nobody else is applauding, all of heaven is rejoicing because we are being faithful. So help us to be faithful. Help us to continue to chase after you and to remember the cheering that's taking place, the rejoicing that takes place over us. One day we'll experience it for ourselves, but for now, would you just remind us of that? Allow us to carry that with us. That heaven right now is cheering us on. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.